Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, Khaled's here.
Hold on.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم, this is your brother Khaled. You're on the conversation.
I think
that's how are you? Station IWDM. That's our brother Khaled Sabri out of New York, Harlem, New York, who's our featured guest, and we're going to get to him in a minute. He just called in, so he's not aware that we're streaming live on the internet on the program. But with us is our brother, co-host, my friend, my buddy, Rauf Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, Rauf.
Walaikum salam, Khaled, and Khaled also. It's an honor, a pleasure, a blessing to be with us in this special time to be on Blog Talk Radio, and this is certainly a conversation with a purpose.
Yeah.
Sure enough. Well, I'm glad you made it, Khaled. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Khaled.
You there?
Sabri. Yes, we're here.
Yes.
And you're on.
Yes, I'm here. Brother Khaled is here. Yes.
Broadcasting. All right.
Yes.
And you this coming. Well, let's introduce you first. You're out of Harlem, New York, at the Harlem Masjid of Harlem, New York.
Harlem Center of Al-Islam.
Harlem Center of Al-Islam. Thank you for correcting me.
Harlem Center of Al-Islam, yes.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on in Harlem?
Harlem Center of Islam basically started at least 2 years ago, 2009, and it basically started out of the spirit of needing to have another environment where Imam Muhammad's language could be expressed and to be built again. It basically started out of my family and another brother's family named Brother Ismail Shamsuddin, his family, and we basically combined because he was doing Juma at a certain place, and then we were doing Juma at a certain place, so we came together and started doing Juma together, and that's formed the Harlem Center of Al-Islam.
Wow. And what's the time? How many members of your family were there? I know Hakeem. I know Ahmed. Matter of fact, Ahmed, we had on the program.
I have seven siblings and my mother, basically. And that's those are the people who helped us form this center. And he had his son, himself, his wife, and some of his coworkers that were there. So
we take it to the next level and starting January 8th at the call out. You're having a call out on January 8th.
Yes. This Saturday at 1 p.m. at the Bethany Development Center on 124th Street, the call out for Muslim community builders. Basically, we have a board of secretary, we have imam, we have a treasurer, we have board members, but we don't have any workers. I don't like the term followers. A lot of times, a lot of people want to have followers because they have nothing else to say in the world, so they want followers. But when you want workers, you can establish a community. So what we're trying to do is establish a community from the ground up, build a new masjid, want a separate Muslim Khair Muhammad school, and we basically want to start from the ground up. And one of the things we realized in reference to this call out was that Malcolm X, may Allah have mercy on him, most of the masajid on the East Coast, Imam Muhammad said, were built by him. And it seems to me that since Imam Muhammad was born, I mean, since Imam Muhammad's teachings were being born in 1975 till now, there were no masajid built under his leadership on the East Coast. Just built from his leadership. So I first started thinking, like, in 2008 when he died, I'm like, it's time for us to build something with his language instead of living in places that Malcolm X built and living on that history, which is wonderful, and what he did was important. But we need to have institutions built for Imam Muhammad's language. That's 33 years. So that was another initiative for us to do. And but one of the main things is for us to have workers with us. We want to start committees. We want to start to have brothers and sisters who are committed to doing something new, having a new approach to building a community. One of the things we're looking for are artists, singers, architects, designers, lawyers, professionals and non-professionals. One of the biggest things is that we heard Imam Muhammad say one time, he said that we should stop focusing on the dead and start focusing on the living. And one of the things Imam Muhammad referenced to the living were people on the right, people who already have establishment, people who already have something to give. Those are the people you go to build something. The people on the left, he explained, were the people who were in need of things. But the people on the right side were the people who had things, who had establishment. So we're going out to people like that. That's what people we want to help us build this community here in Harlem, so that it can stay established and be established from people who have wealth, who have intelligence, who have the education. And that's the intent of the Saturday.
Great, that's great. Okay, now who made that poster or flyer with the
yes. My brother Ahmed, who's the Imam of Harlem Center of Al-Assam, he drew that poster at least 5 years ago for another event, but we never used it. So we tweaked it, and the concept came. My wife saw that poster in our house, the old poster in our house, and she said, "Why don't we use that as a reference?" I mean, as a way to get people to come to the event. So I said, yeah, that makes sense. And one of the things is that my brother and myself, most of our family, we are artists. And one of the things the Imam said, Imam Muhammad said about the artists and the people who were creative, that's how sometimes you can get across da'wah quicker, by art. So basically the poster, it shows most of the people wearing white, and they're carrying tools in their right hand, and they're wearing colorful headgear. And these are all symbols that I was trying to talk to people who are artists, people who understand symbols. We wanted to have a new approach to inviting people. The word da'wah, and the person who does da'wah, who's a da'i, is someone who's inviting someone. So when somebody gives you a card or someone gives you something that's an invitation, usually looks very nice, it looks different. So that's what we thought about. Okay, well, how could it be different? How could we stand out from everybody else? Okay, we're artists. Let's show our art side. So it's very, very crafty, different. One of the biggest things you see is that the flag that our teacher, Imam Muhammad, created is the biggest flag, and our flag under it, Harlem Center of Al-Assam, is a smaller one, trying to say that Imam Muhammad's message is bigger than our individual masajid. and you see the sun behind it. It says Washamsi Waduhaha, and from the Quran, Washamsi Waduhaha, and the sun, and by the sun, and how it's Washamsi Waduhaha, by the sun, and how it.
And its glory, duha, is the sun,
yeah.
when it starts to become prominent,
I'm trying to remember the Imam's explanation for duha, but it meant that you're at the crux of your creativity, duha, that you're at that point where you're about to come alive and. To create, so that's why the sun is coming out over them, and they're walking up a mountain. That they're at the beginning of their creativity, and that's one of the things that, unfortunately, a lot of our masajid aren't encouraging of the believers, for them to be creative and to think and to create, and to have imagination, and we want that to be done in the beginning. For the workers, the people who are going to help build this, we want all their expression. We have some brothers who can play violin. We have another brother who plays piano. And we have construction workers. We have people who are architects who already said that they wanted to help us with this. So we want this to be built from the people who have creative thought, who can think. You know, unfortunately, as the Imam once said that. A lot of us are in masajid that there's a barn boss or a dictator, and the people under that dictator aren't allowed to speak or to express themselves. And we wanted to change that from the poster.
I think you made a great start. And from my point of view, is that it's a wonderful to see similar efforts, at least in Houston. From the, the new masjid they built from the ground up, beautiful masjid.
Yeah.
In Plainville, New Jersey, there's been a renovation of a masjid there. In Newark, New Jersey, brand new masjid being built too. Almost.
Imam Ali Muslim Masjid.
That's correct. And even in somewhere in Connecticut, I saw an article about the renovation again, about the. Community, place of worship. So it's happening, you know. I'm sure there's more that I don't know, you know. It's out there. So, but the thing is communication and get to people. Like you said, I'm
sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but in reference to that, that spirit, since Imam Muhammad physically left us, that spirit of growth and ingenuity and newness. I believe was by his physical death, and it's true that there's so many other people doing it. And like, this isn't anything new or anything specifically for our community as well. Because as I looked on the internet and looked in different avenues, I know as masajid are being built around the world, almost like houses are being built from different Muslim communities. And my first thought was that we as a community have to grow bigger than when our teacher was alive. It has to grow past us. It has to grow longer than us. It has to grow, expand bigger than us. And the only way you can do that, we can't hold all the believers in the masajid that were built by his father and the teachings of his father and Malcolm X. We can't hold all the believers in there. Those places are too small. Imam Muhammad said that there should be as many masajid as there are churches in the neighborhood. To say that Imam Muhammad's language and what he created for us is too big for one place. And that competition, that righteous competition that's created when you have different masajid in the same area, creates righteous competition. One masajid might be pushing education. The other one's pushing technology. Another one's pushing architecture, but they're pushing something all in that neighborhood, creating that whole neighborhood to become a competitive moral competitive environment. But if it's just one masajid, one imam, one community there, it stays that way. So that was one of the things that I'm glad you brought up the other brothers and sisters who are doing it around the country.
Remember that saying that 1,000 points of light? And
yes.
It just happened. And since the imam did pass away, there's also been brothers who are writing books, too.
We
want to support and promote that. But even more so is to have information about what's going on. And for instance, we don't have to, you know how if you're going to build a place, you definitely need an architect. You definitely need some, well, first of all, you need some money, you know?
Yep.
And you need an architect. You need to have a strategic plan from conception to realization, of course. And you don't want to get stuck, you know. I don't think that we have to do the same thing all over, like it's a brand new thing. I think that we can.
Yes.
We have all kinds of gifted people in this community, but we don't know them, you know.
That's one of the things that there's a young brother who I know, who I grew up saw him being born till now, and he's in the construction business now. He was telling me that. There's a place in Harlem being built for persons who are transgender, gay, bisexual, and for young people. And it's like an $8 million project. And these people got together to build it. It was $8 million. It's a 6-foot-story building. And there was no outcry or no kind of disagreement with that being built in Harlem.
Mm.
One of the reasons is because the people, unfortunately, as a people, we're not unified as the Jews and everyone else are when things are being built in our community. I say to say that us building a Muslim community should be something that all, once you take a shahada, that should be being done everywhere, like every other ethnic group. I mean, you come to Harlem and you go to 116th Street, most of the Muslims there are from Senegal, and they have three different masjids under Senegalese leadership. And they've been here since the early 90s. And there's three different masjids being built, were built from 1990 to now. And they're all under the leadership of a Senegalese frame of mind. So they understand that your life, if you're a Muslim, your life has to be expressed through al-Islam. You have to have a masajid. You have to have stores that are yours. They have halal meat. They have halal clothing. They have halal places to buy everything, the Senegalese people. They have their whole life there. And we only have one masajid that's supposedly under our leadership. And it shouldn't be that way for my children. I have three children, a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 2-year-old. They shouldn't see that the life I'm teaching them, the life-giving teaching that I'm teaching them from the Imam and from the Quran and from the Prophet Muhammad, is small. These young Senegalese children see three masajids. They see 10 stores. They see 8 beauty shops. They see all these little Senegalese children who just came over here 18 years ago. Who are 10, 7, and 2, see the magnificence, the gloriousness of al-Islam, while we see one place that's been there since I was a child, since Malcolm was assassinated. It shouldn't be that way. They should see that al-Islam has grown. It's massive. Al-Islam is expansive. Al-Islam is a way of life. Life isn't just Juma. Life is stores, salons, bakery, meat market, all the stuff we grew up in, we were the Nation of Islam. So that's where this is coming from. It's coming from a spirit. I saw what could happen. I grew up that way. And too many people who are under, I'm 40 years old, too many people under me, who are younger than me, didn't see what I saw growing up. Who don't have older brothers and sisters who were in the FOI, who were in the Nation of Islam and saw the bakery and all these other things. Too many of them see a desolate desert. There's no meat market in Harlem, Muslim meat market under our leadership. There's no bakery under our leadership. There's no salon under our leadership. So what does that say to them? That Al-Assam is small. Al-Assam is one place and one imam and one community, while the Senegalese and the Arab and even the Pakistani, they have two masjids in Harlem. The Arabs have three, and we only have one. And the competition is righteous. It's supposed to be righteous competition. You understand what I'm saying? This isn't negative. This is righteous. If someone's on, if we're on 160th Street, we should be on 135th Street. We should be on 140th Street. We should be on 113th Street. So we have all four corners that are with us. So when we say we don't want any more pornography in Harlem, we get with the other Senegalese and the Arab. We say we don't want any more alcohol. We get with the Arab. We get the Pakistani. All of us come together and say, no, we don't want this. And it's done. So I want to leave something for my children that's bigger than what our brother Malcolm did. And what he did was so powerful. We're still living off the remnants of what our brother Malcolm did.
Can you explain that particular statement when you say living off the remnants?
I'll say this. Imam Muhammad said about Malcolm X, he said there were three builders of the Nation of Islam. This is what Imam Muhammad said. He said it was Farad, Elijah, and Malcolm. They were all builders of the Nation of Islam, meaning that they built things. They built temples. They built what you see on 116th Street. I'm not saying that's a physical thing, that it's the same thing, but in Harlem, they don't know Imam Muhammad's language. They don't know who Imam Muhammad is. In 2003, when we did an event at the Apollo, most people thought he was dead. And all they knew was what Malcolm did, even what our brother Farrakhan is doing. But no one knew what our brother Imam Muhammad was doing. So we're living off the remnants, and I'm saying with the people. I'm not saying what the reality is, but with the people, the average person, you go to the average person, and you ask who the Muslims, they're going to say Senegalese, they're going to say what Malcolm did, they're going to talk about the Arabs, but no one's going to say Wallace D. Muhammad. That's what I am, I don't like the word fighting, but that's what we're trying to create. And not to say that they want to quote Imam Muhammad, but to say here's something that was established under his leadership. This is how we live right now. We don't wear bow ties anymore. We don't just say sell bean pie. We don't sell physical papers on the street anymore. We're technologically savvy. We're up on iPads and iBook and e-readers, and we're here. We're physically here. We're involved in government. Most people don't know these things. So that's one of the sparks for this, that we need to be out there supporting Harlem the way our brother Malcolm used to. When something happened in Harlem, they ran to Malcolm and the temple and said, what's going on with the Muslims? What do the Muslims think? Now if something happens, they go to Abyssinian Baptist Church, or they go to, there's a new Jehovah's Witness, a new Mormon church that was built 2 years ago. So there's something that says about that we don't have our presence there at home.
Hey, I understand too. You're on a conversation with a purpose with Khaled and Raouf, with our guest Khaled of the Harlem Center of Al-Islam. And we're talking about and promoting the event, the call out event that's happening this Saturday, January 8th, where we're trying to bring all the good minds together to build and advance our community, starting with the masjid and a multi purpose center from the ground on up. So yeah, I hear you, brother. You know, that's the challenge. I have quietly thought of Professor Farad as the first stage of our community, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the second, and you know, both had very important parts of our development. Of course, with Farad, he in terms of number one, it wasn't anything new he brought, but he was a culmination, that's the word, of Marcus Garvey, Drew Novelli, and another important.
Yes. Father Divine. Yes.
Father Divine, yes, Father Divine, too. And he put it all together, you know, and brought forth this strange new waking up the dead, so to speak. But fierce, you know, devotion, and what just 3 years' time. I mean, that's amazing what he did in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
And appointed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his first name Elijah Kareem, to be the Supreme Minister after him. You know, Elijah only had a third grade education. And oh my God, just wonderful. So he had told us, and maybe a lot of people didn't want to hear it, but he said he didn't come to teach us religion. He came to clean us up.
Yep.
And he sure did. It was strong moral laws and discipline that was invoked, you know. And here comes the man to teach us religion.
Yep.
With such great insight, diplomacy, wonderful, you know, he's called a human person for human salvation, the spokesperson. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Spokesperson for human salvation. That was real. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So now we're at part four, where it's on us.
Yep.
No more charismatic leader or
nope.
type of. A lot of pretenders I see out there, you know. A lot of bomb bombs, like you say, you know.
Yes.
And I like to bring up this. There's a ayat in the Quran. These pretenders, they don't have no authority over you. It's chapter 15, verse 42. 1542. And let me see, I can pull it up on the computer. But they don't have no authority, except if you fall for that. Except that if you put yourself by your wrong thinking, you make the wrong choice. You put yourself in the wrong, and you go follow them. You follow the shaitan. And that's what they got, you know. And I see that in play too, and I want to talk about it in a little while. But Ralph, would you like to share some of your thoughts or have any questions?
Well, I do have some. I really want to share a comment with Brother Hussain, Brother Khaled, and everything the brother has saying resonates with what he has experienced as a 40-year-old young man. He has seen how our community has evolved, but I want to point out that we all go from one womb to another, so that we had the Master Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the great Honorable Master W.D. Muhammad Waliduddin. Malcolm, but they brought us out of a womb, coming into appreciation of our human worth.
Yeah.
And once we came that, once we got out of that, I think that we had to start all over again from the beginning to now develop community consciousness, because they developed in us individual, you know, a black man is a legitimate human being.
Yes.
That was the groundwork.
Yes.
So now what the imam is doing is that he's standing on the shoulders, just like there are seven heavens, and on each heaven there is a phase of development. The imam now has brought us to a very high level, but what he's doing would not have been possible but for that work. And now that there's two ways of looking at it. First, we could say all of Masajid were established by Imam W.D. Muhammad, because before him they weren't Masajid. They were business centers, and they were other things. But the worship of Allah was not there, because they thought, they were saying that in the name of in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad,
yes,
whom praises are due forever. So they didn't have religion then. What they had was the coming of humanism, which is the worship of the human being.
Yeah.
And that's a start. That's a process to the before you start worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you come to worship that which looks approximates Allah. And what approximates Allah in the creation is the human being.
Yeah.
He's the one thing in creation that has some intelligence and some creative power and a large degree. So then the imam comes, he establishes the masjid, but in addition, there were masjid established, Masjid Allah in Philadelphia. There were masjid established in Newark, New Jersey. So there were other masjid that were developed under the imam. But I would agree that the majority of these communities not only were established prior to the imam, but the majority of them never accepted his leadership.
I agree with you.
So
I
now,
Alec,
you're bringing us. What you represent is that next stage of the implementation of the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And so it is God has inspired in you to be that extension of the Imam. You know, you read in the Bible that Moses lived to be 600. Well, Imam Muhammad is living in Khaled.
And
Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away,
I leave.
Or the Comforter will not come unto you.
Yes.
So Imam is gone, but the sun, as Khaled has heard me say this many times, the sun must set so that the stars may come out.
Stars.
Imam has set, the stars may come out, and some of those stars are 1,000 times the size of the sun. So I'm with you. I'm ready to follow your lead, my brother, and follow your work and to support what you all are doing, because we, Colin and I, we were around in the old day, but you have come, and you're not burdened by those shackles that we had to break off ourselves. We established a leg of the relay and get a lead for you, and so now you're the anchor. And you can set the new world record. So that's my comment.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I one of the things is that one of the biggest things that has helped our Harlem City of Ensemble is our brother Ismail Shamsuddin, who again was from that history, and knowing that my father Charles 24X was a part of that history, and that I come from that history. And one of the issues that the younger people under 40 and who are 21 and 23, the issue of them not knowing the history and not seeing it presently has made them be able to be, I don't like the word usurped, but given to other things in front of them. It's like anything else, like a child, whatever you put in front of that child, when a child has no information, no previous information, so whatever you present in front of them, they're going to go towards it. I say that to say that what happened in 9/11, for the Muslims who are not indigenous of America and those who didn't follow the imam, a lot of their leadership is now based on trying to make America like them. Because before that, a lot of them were talking against America, talking harsh against America. And now there's this thing where, okay, no, we're not terrorists, we're not evil, we're not this and that. And a lot of our young people from our community are joining that movement, and it's a movement to me that is taking us away from what we have to do. We have to establish community life in America. And we don't have anything to fear. We didn't do anything wrong. We've been here for 70-something years establishing. America has a record of what Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm and all them, Imam Muhammad did. We don't have to go around ashamed. So I say that to say that the people who have the energy, the young people who have the energy, the imagination, and the intelligence, they're being taken away, and I'm saying specifically in Harlem, because there's nothing there saying that what your teacher taught for 33 years is relevant. Unfortunately, those of us who are on Facebook or who are on other web blogs are just talking about the Imam, quoting and talking about his wisdom. But there's nobody building. Most people who are young want to see action. When I was 27, 23, I was involved in so many things at NYU. I was moving. I was getting involved with this and that. But I never took my focus off of this community. But a lot of the younger people, 23, 22, are kind of like, am I with, do I want what our teacher taught us to do in America? Or do I have to do what other people are doing in America? Should I wear a thobe? Should I wear a long beard? Should I wear high water socks? Is that more Islamic than what the Imam taught me? You see what I'm saying? And because there's no physical evidence in Harlem of Imam Muhammad's leadership, no stores, no bakery, no all that stuff I grew up with, the first thought is, no, that's not necessary. I hear these old people talking about Imam Muhammad and breaking down the science of Adam and all that stuff. But those other brothers, they have the staff. When I go to Long Island, I see what the Arab brothers built. And I go to Queens, and I see what the Pakistani brothers built. And I go to 116th Street, and I see what the Senegalese brothers built. They built something with their knowledge of their leadership. But our leaders are arguing. They're not coming together. And I understand their mind. I understand them. Because I was a young person. But I happen to have five brothers and a mother who is strong with this community. But most young people have to see the thing. One of the things that attracted people to Malcolm was that he brought you to see things. He saw that there was a bakery. There was these things being helpful. So there were things being said that, okay, why would I join the Nation of Islam? I have a list of why you should join the Nation of Islam. We have bakeries. We have planes. We have this. We have that to young people. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, when a new believer came to the community, he would give them gifts. Because when you're new, you don't really understand the work and the what goes into all that al-Islam. So he would give them gifts to make them feel good. Where are the gifts for our young brothers and sisters? To tell them that they should be with our teacher. That's what we're trying to do on January 8th. We're trying to show them the gifts. We're trying to give them a gift. And one of the things about especially young men is that young men need to work. If you don't have work for young men, that's why they're going into crack and being in gangs. It's because the work, or they're going, being educated for the world to use them, but they're not. We're not educating them. We're not giving them an education to build something with. So that's why we say we don't want followers, we want workers. And I heard Brother Khaled talk about there are a lot of people, so-called leaders, trying to be like spokesmen or fiery speakers who just want to talk. And that turns, you know, for me, it turns me off when all I hear you do is go here and there, and all you're doing is talking and selling CDs and selling tapes, but you're not building anything. You know, you're building your wealth. You're building your wealth. But what are these young men getting from that when they buy your tape and they go home and they hear your tape and they start parroting you? What are they getting? It's like being what the rappers do, like being trying to be Lil Wayne or Rick Ross or Jay-Z or 50 Cent. You're just a parody. But you're not telling them to build anything. And even these drug-selling rappers are telling them how to sell drugs, at least. You're not even telling me how to build a community in my own home when you come to my place. So what we're trying to do is you have it. You have these young men have the ability to build community life. They have it in them. But when we come to them, those of us who have this language and who know the Imam Muhammad, we sit there for 8 to 7 hours talking to them, and after that they buy our tape, and then they go back home and have a stack of tapes in their house, and nothing gets built. But yet when they see me, oh, there goes Brother Eman so-and-so, Eman Khalid Sabree. That was wonderful what they said on the radio. That was wonderful. Could you say that again? Well, Eman Muhammad, when he said the five fingers represent the so-and-so and so-and-so, and all he keeps doing is seeing me and getting excited. But he never builds anything. And this is almost like a whole pimp prostitute thing, in my opinion. I didn't want to use that language, but we're using these young men to just imitate us and not build anything. And that's what we're trying to stop here in Harlem.
All right, I think we may have a question from one of the listeners. I'm going to check out. I want to remind everybody, if you have a question, just press 1 on your phone, and we try our best to bring you in. And Barreto, do you have something to say before I bring in area code 773 in a minute?
No, let's bring the question in, but I believe that this is a natural progression and that we have to move from lip service to work. And this, what is happening is the way every other community has developed, and the restlessness and the irritation I'm hearing in college, it represents what's happening when that baby needs to come out of the womb. And the womb has become too small for it. And so what he's expressing is the desire that he can't live off of milk alone. He has to be weaned. And this is part of the natural process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established. When he said that the rain will come, it will come to the dead earth, and it will sensitize that earth. And once it sensitizes that earth is going to respond with a new growth. So all of this is a part of a dynamic that we have to appreciate, and we can't we can't be satisfied with talk, but we have to recognize that articulation was the thing that sensitized the dead earth, that allowed the earth to be able to put forth beautiful produce.
Yes, I just wanted to add to what he said. Imam Muhammad spoke about the Jewish community. He said the rabbis in the Jewish community look for certain boys in the community who are spiritually inclined, and they bring them towards them, and they sit them among the rabbi. The rabbis teach them. And like he said, it's a natural progression, and that is not what happened with our community. Because this is because of slavery, and this kind of expression. I'm passionate about what has to happen, and I think that's important. Imam Muhammad said you have to have life when you're doing this work. You have to have some kind of life in you. So I agree with the brother what he said.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to bring in 773, see what they have to say. Hope it's there.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, Brother Khalid.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
How are you and your guests?
We're doing fine. You know, I was speaking
good.
To another brother. His name is Khalid.
I'm good. Yes, I just tuned in a little while ago, and just wanted to say I think you have some wonderful guests on your programs. I've listened to more than just one or two programs, and you have some very, very good guests. The brother, I didn't get his name, but I think he said he's an imam from New York. I know you said yesterday you would have a brother on from New York.
Right. This is Brother Imam Khalid Sabree. Yeah.
I'm the chairperson for the Harlem Center of Al-Islam. And my brother Ahmed is the imam of the Harlem Center of Al-Islam. I'm the chairperson.
Okay.
Well, everybody, I want to Imam Muhammad, in his last address to Philadelphia, it was Jummah, April 11th. In one of his final comments, he was saying, "I want to address all you brothers
as my associates, and sisters too. He said, I want to let you know that you are an imam, every one
yeah.
of you.
Yes.
You know? And he said, you too, sister. He said like that. I said, what? You know, I look at the DVD. And because
yeah.
we had that problem with the sister who wanted to do a Jummah. And
yep.
I was too surprised, you know, there were a lot of uneducated or uninformed people who followed men and women, you know, in that particular endeavor.
Yeah.
But anyway, he would say, sister, you're an imam too. And he said, now, when it's time for prayer, and there's no imam around, don't you lead yourself in prayer? And it was, yeah, you know, he said, assalamu alaikum. He went off like that. It was really, really enlightening
yeah.
type. So that's why I call you imam. You know,
I understand.
Who you talking to right now? Who you talking to right now?
Yes.
Imam William Bilal out of Chicago. And he has a program teaching Arabic on the on Station IWGM every Tuesday. So that's what I said. You know, because we don't have any priesthood in our Islam.
Yes.
You know?
And that's your name. I'm very, very
yes.
pleased, brother, to be a part of the program this evening. You said some things that echo my sentiments exactly. I'm here in Chicago, and that's all I hear. Just what you said, I haven't heard it said any more accurate and any more better, brother. And
thank you.
I'm trying to build, and I thank you for having the courage to say things that some people feel is off limits. And you know, the man was here, God rest his soul in peace, and reward him with Jannah. And he did so many things, and he said so many things. And then when he passed away, there's nothing to show that the great leader that Allah blessed us with was here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And if you say that around the country, brother, I'll pray for you. I'll make dua for you, because this CD thing and this tape thing and this CD thing, that's what it is now. That's what it is. Like you say, how can when I take your CD into my home and play it, or your DVD, whatever, how can it help me build? It just show me that you heavy. Okay, you want to be seen as heavy? I'll see you as heavy. But what about the action, and what about the building that you mentioned about the Sinhalese brothers and the different other communities? So I think that what I heard tonight just gives me more confidence, brother, to stay away from the running off at the mouth, you know, about the imam, and do something, you know, to build. And then let the actions speak. They speak louder than the words. And the people, you know, the people, the common people in our community, and what I mean by the common people is, you know what I mean, it's just the people that's just regular people.
No, I understand.
Okay. They're not hearing what you just said. They're not getting that message. They're getting the message of who can rally the most people. Who can rally the most people for their own benefit. And, praise be to Allah. You keep up the good work, brother. My name
Thank
is
you.
William Bilal. I'm here on the west side of Chicago, and I support Khaled in his great work of making this information known throughout the country, and not just in our separate locales, because some people are starving because they're not getting taught, they're not being fed, especially the young people.
Yes. Yes. I appreciate that, Brother Imam, and I never thought that I'm speaking for myself. This is why I'm speaking in such a emphatic manner, because I saw. Again, I said I'm 40 years old. I have 3 children and a wife, and my wife doesn't have to work because I've been taking care of them since my children since a 10-year-old, and I've seen the pressures of society on me and what is needed for me to succeed. And one of the things you realize as a young man is that you understand that the world doesn't appreciate what you talk about. The world appreciates what you can express. So you're not preparing these young Muslim children, these boys, to go out into the world. All you're preparing them to do is to sit around you. And that is, that's what, that was the aim of the slave master. And I say this to say, because when the imam, every time the imam came to Harlem, he always spoke about Malcolm. Always spoke highly about Malcolm. And that, as a child, that made me focus on Malcolm. See, what was it about Malcolm? What was it? Why was he so, Imam Muhammad said about him, he said, me and Malcolm were extraordinary men. He said, I'm going to say that again.
Yes.
Me and Malcolm, we were not ordinary men. We were extraordinary men.
Okay.
So I'm here it is. I'm a young Muslim Harlem child hearing my teacher talk about Malcolm that way. So that meant he was focusing us to look at him a certain way. What was it about him? He put his money where his mouth was. And he believed in the teacher and built from it. The average imam, this is what Imam Muhammad said, this is before he died, he said that I tried to get them to be, and this isn't verbatim, so if someone knows this quote, I don't want to, no, you know what, I'm not going to misquote the imam, but I am going to quote, the imam said this, he said 85% of the imams are not with him. So this is when he was alive.
I remember.
So what has changed? Nothing.
Thank
85% of a community were not with a leader when he was alive. What happened when he dies? The same 85% exists. So it's not for those people who, it's not for us to fight those 85%. It's for the 15% to start building. So the 85% could keep talking in the street like a nut with a cup in some weird mental hospital, while the 15% are building institutions to even help those 85%, to keep them in a room, a padded room where they could just talk and write Imam Muhammad's language. But those of us who understand, who are men, who could stand up with their families and have their wives look at them and say, that's a man I have, because
wow,
he's building community. Those are the ones that have to do it and take the criticism. There was an imam who did a very good talk about the criticism of the criticizer. And he said, Allah doesn't say, you're not going to be criticized. Allah says, don't fear it. So that means Allah is preparing you for criticism.
Yes.
So how do you prepare for criticism? You know what you're talking about and do it. And deal with the criticism. But slavery has prepositioned us to fear community gathering together. You know, there was, of course, y'all know about there were laws for African-American men to not gather.
Right.
So that psyche is still in us. There were laws against us for not to read. That psyche is still in us. There were laws for us only to express ourselves in religion. So that psyche is still in us. So here it is, these people calling themselves imams know that there's a psyche in us to just stay in religion and to not have material. So, okay, I'm going to give them the flim-flam and flip it around and give them a tape because psyche in us is just to be religious.
Yeah.
And the psyche in us to not have community, to not gather together. The word jamiyun means to gather, jumu'ah, to gather on Friday. So it's a psyche in us not to do that. So this is, see how perfect this religion is for us? You know what I'm saying? It was a psyche in us for us to gather. So to know that, Imam Muhammad said, some of us have become slave masters, have become worse than the slave master, Imam Muhammad said. So when you know it's the psyche in us, our light skin and dark skin problems, you know it's a psyche in us for good hair, bad hair. You know that's a psyche in us, and you perform all that in front of us. That means you're worse than a slave master. Myself, I don't like to focus on those who are corrupt in our community. I'm calling, this is a call out for the builders of our community. There are those who left our masajid and went out in the world and established themselves, and I'm proud of them, and I'm telling them to come establish a masajid for you, for those people who couldn't deal with a dictatorship. I'm calling out for them who are intelligent, who are wise, who have money, who have the wherewithal to build a new state-of-the-art masajid in Harlem
that will shine as a light to the rest of the United States to say, like what they did in Texas, my brother Imam Wazir, what they did in Texas. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I spoke to him, and he came down here in Harlem and spoke to the Imam over here. Imam Ahmed, they went out and hung out, and they were talking about what they were doing. They invited us to come. We weren't able to come, but that was inspiring. And our brother Imam Mansour over there in Atlanta.
Okay.
And just to say this, Atlanta has three different masjids that came out of that masjid. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's beautiful.
There's nothing wrong with that. What we have to understand, especially as African men, is Imam, this is what Ahmad Muhammad said, may Allah forgive him of his sins. He said there are three things that the European man didn't teach us. Family, money, and war. Family, money, and war.
Mm-hmm.
Business, marriage, and the art of war.
Yes.
Those three things, that's what's affecting us now. We separate religion from material life because that's what they was taught to slavery. We don't, we're not teaching our young children to get married early like our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He said, marry them young. And the art of war is being strategic in an environment that might be hostile to you. As our teacher, it was so brilliant in how he maneuvered in America. May Allah keep him on the heavens for what he did for us. But now it's my turn. Now it's our turn to maneuver in America. He laid so, look at our president. Look, and I'm sorry if I'm talking too long, but look at where our president is. Look at where our president is. It's because he spoke to Imam Muhammad for 5 hours. That's why he's where he is right now. Our president Barack Obama spoke to our teacher for a long period of time. You have to know how to maneuver in America. And what our immigrant brothers and our brothers who are not from our community, that's what they realized on 9/11. They had to throw out their old tapes. They had to change how they dressed because how they were maneuvering in America was wrong. Our teacher just kept going. So what we're doing again, and I thank you, Brother Imam, from Chicago.
Yeah.
I have family up there, Sister Iris Sabri and my uncle up there, Kadir. I appreciate this, and this is very inspiring for me because if it wasn't for y'all, we wouldn't even understand what al-Islam, we wouldn't even know how to say as-salamu alaykum if it wasn't for y'all. I'm not saying all the credit for al-Islam in America goes to people like yourself, all of it, not anything else. Those are people, if you see anything of any remnant of al-Islam goes to what y'all did 70 years ago. And now it's our turn to build from that. It doesn't go to anyone, any other community but y'all. Now, they could put on CNN and all these other shows of what the Arabs did in Detroit and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for your Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what y'all did, we wouldn't be even have Muslim names. We wouldn't be even have masajid. We wouldn't have none of this. If y'all didn't get sell the bean pies and sell the fish and march like y'all did. If it wasn't for y'all, we wouldn't even exist at all. So I'm saying that openly, and that's the fire I have in me. I know what my father did. I know what my father did and my mother did to come into something that's so strange, and this is Jim Crow time, to come in the 1950s when they were lynching us, and to say Allahu Akbar, to say Muhammad. And here it is, 2010, when our teacher opened up the avenues for us, and me just to sit down in my room and play a tape by some imam like some weird psycho patient. No, it's time for us to go out there like y'all went out there, and y'all went out there with half of the knowledge. Here we have Allah says in the Quran, it's mubin, clear, the clarity. We have the most clearest language, the most clearest book, the most perfect example, and we're sitting in our rooms. No, the time is out for that. The time is now to see the young men who were taught under this leadership to lead this and to bring this community to its fruition. And that's what you're going to see. This is just the beginning. And it's not just happening in Harlem. Because I got some, there's some brothers from Philly who were coming, some brothers from Jersey were coming, there's some brothers from other, they're coming to support us, what we're doing.
Yeah.
And to help us what the mistakes they made, to tell us what the mistakes that we're not making.
That's right.
So I'm just, if I sound,
No, you sound just like us.
Sound
yes,
good, brother.
Yes.
But what we want to do
good.
Is continue.
Yes.
Continue, you know.
Yes, so
what I'm... Hold on, brother. Let me just say this.
Oh, go ahead.
What date
is that program? It's January 8th.
January 8th.
Yeah.
2011. It's called Calling All Muslims, a call out for Muslim community builders. The Harlem Center of Al-Islam is looking for new minds, new ideas, and innovative ways to create better community life. We plan to build a new state-of-the-art masajid/multipurpose facility center in the village of Harlem. If this is something you want to be part of, then join us on Saturday, January 8, 2011, at 1 p.m. sharp at the Bethany Development Outreach Center, 63 West 124th Street, New York, New York, 10027. You can find us on Facebook. Also, our website is harlemalislam.com, and we're accepting donations starting this Friday, and we're just really excited because it's almost like going to heaven and seeing what heaven was when you were in the Nation of Islam. When we were children in the Nation of Islam, we thought we were in heaven. And to see that and to grow up and see that now we're in hell, I can't live that way. I can't leave that to my children. I have to show what happened to them. The website is harlemalislam.com. Harlem Al Islam, www.harlemalislam.com.
www.harlemalislam.com. Okay. And so you have the ways to give donations and stuff like that?
Yes, it's going to be up this Friday. It's going to be up by this Friday, inshallah.
Okay, well, thank you, brother. I got to go.
Thank you. Thank you for what you've done before. Thank you for what you're doing now. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, brother. Alhamdulillah, all the time, always. And it humbles me to hear you speak so clearly and so straight to the point. And I'm praying for you, brother, and all of the Muslims, but we're praying for your program on January the 8th.
Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
We're going to move on to, thank you, brother, Imam William Bilal. We're going to move on to another question, and we're going to bring in area code 914. Please state your name and go ahead with your question or comment. As-salamu alaykum. Area code 914.
Alaykum as-salam. Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
Okay.
As-salamu alaykum. Yes, as-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Alaykum as-salam.
Right. Okay, Brother Kakala, the first thing I wanted to say is that you have been asking us, I guess, about a month ago or so to listen to a couple of lectures that the Imam Muhammad had made a few years ago, and that was the one that he made in Brooklyn, the Labor's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
In 1981, I believe it was. Oh, was that 82? That was a labor meeting.
82.
In 82. Yeah, I listened to that. That lecture, and also the one at the Tyleem that he made in Oakland in 1981. Right.
Yeah.
And bring it up to date today. I got my CD that I had ordered. I came in last Friday, but anyway, I wasn't able to. So I get my email back to answer your, let you know that I had received it, you know.
Right, okay.
And,
good.
And that was excellent. The man spoke about
The DVD he's talking about is in the last Jumma that the man gave in Philadelphia, April 11, 2008. And also the lectures that are available to hear on our social network is at www.wearewiththeimam.name.com. Which is also a place for us to, I was about to say earlier, to collaborate, to make exchanges, to communicate with one another, and see how we, you know, help one another to advance our community. So everybody's invited to join at www.wearewiththeimam.ning.com. Go ahead, Brother Muhammad. What were you saying?
Yeah, on the one that he was speaking on in that labor's meeting in 82 in Brooklyn. Once we go back and listen to that talk, you'll see a lot about what is happening in New York today. Same thing that the man warned us about at that time, and it's happening right now today in New York.
Yes. And your solutions, too. Chronic solutions and directions for, to get out of that problem. Don't be stuck, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you had a DVD that the man just made in Philadelphia back in what you spoke about, he was saying about the sisters that you are imams also, and he went into detail and he explained exactly what he meant, and so everyone, I'll follow Khalid's suggestion on that and order that DVD, get it. It's almost a must that you get it,
Yeah,
I think so.
Yes, of course. Anything our teacher taught, he never wasted words. And they said the same thing about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never wasted words. So anything the Imam said was very important.
Ahmed, I know Ahmed Sabri from I'm in this New York area for years myself. Right.
Yes, that's my brother. Yes.
So Ahmed, what I want to ask you. What do you think happened that you fell from heaven to hell?
Well, I was using. I'm very animated with my language sometimes, depending on who I'm talking to. I'm using that language in the sense of as a child, that's what you see it as. As a child, when you're in an environment that you feel everyone's with you and you're in this mission and everyone looks like you, everyone's speaking your language, you get food from the people, you can get your hair cut from your people, you can get your food, you can get your clothes from your people, you listen to a lecture from your people, like it's like you as an African American, that's heaven, because what happened in America, we were dispersed and we were torn away from our people. So the Nation of Islam was an image of that. Even though I didn't know what was going behind the scenes with certain things and the corruption or whatever, as a child, you see it all as heaven. Sitting, eating bean pie, and listening to the sisters, we're all white, my mother walking down the street, and people stopped smoking, and dope fiends would stop being on dope just seeing her walk down the street. This is the image I had as a child, seeing my mother walk around in Harlem, and this is one of the worst times in Harlem in the 70s. When all these corrupt, devilish dope dealers were giving dope to our people, and everything was happening in Harlem. But my mother, when she put on that FOI, I mean that MGT thing on, it was like a heavenly body walking in the streets. That's what I remember. All my brothers and sisters remember this. So when you're a child, that's heaven. Now when you get older and you start to realize that there's corruption in the leadership, and there's corruption, and I'm just talking about Harlem leadership. I'm talking corruption in the leadership that was supposed to be with the imam. And that corruption starts to go on the outside of your community. People on the outside of your community start saying, y'all ain't real Muslims. Y'all fake behind. Y'all ain't real this, real that. Y'all fake. So you start to hear stuff like, what? This isn't real? So as you get older, you start realizing, there's work into this. There's work for this. The strong children realize there's work that has to be done. The weaker children just become, become corrupted because you start realizing you really don't have a defense. There is no FOI. There is no MGT. There is no one going to protect you. And it's unfortunate. Most of the people my age who grew up with me, a lot of them don't refer to themselves as Muslims anymore. And it's not just because of the leadership. It's a lot of things, a lot of reasons. But I know one of the things is because of the lack of leadership that wasn't present in helping their situation, in creating an economic basis, in creating a total community, not just a masjid with talking on Friday, but a total community. So that's what I mean by hell. Hell, Imam Muhammad said that, Allah is merciful, that even hell has a time. that even when, you know, there's a time frame for hell even, you know. So I use that word loosely, but I'm saying in the sense of those of us who are conscious. You remember Muhammad said, he talked about those who are conscious. When you're in an environment that's not, it's against you, you work in a way to make it for you. The way Allah says, Allah told Abraham, be cool, O fire, when they put him in the fire. They told Abraham that. That the environment that he's in becomes cool because he starts to know how to work in that environment. So that's what I mean in reference to from heaven to hell as a child, growing up, being born a Muslim, and seeing what happened. And my passion comes from seeing what I saw and what could happen. And brothers like yourselves did this stuff, did this work with half knowledge. It wasn't total knowledge. Here I am, an NYU student, a graphic design student. I know how to read Arabic a little bit. I know the Quran's the book. I know Prophet Muhammad's the messenger. He's the example, and I know Imam Muhammad's our teacher. And I don't have anything to show for it. It's not supposed to be that way. In a normal environment, like I talked about the rabbi and the rabbis in the Jewish community, they seek out the scientists. They seek out the people who are leaning towards religion, and they educate them. They educate them to continue their community, and that's not what happened to our generation. Our generation was left to the wolves. A few of us stayed, but right now what you see are those, the strong will survive. And that's what you see right now. And it's all around the country. And this isn't a doom and gloom time. It's a time for those who stayed to build something. I'm not really into talking and selling my CDs. And that's not anything wrong with that. But if you sell more CDs than you build, then you're basically the same thing as a rapper. You know, he's sitting in his mansion talking about what he used to do as a kid selling drugs. And you're doing the same thing. You're sitting in your room, open up the Quran, listen to Imam Muhammad, and selling a tape, and nothing's being built. That's what I mean by heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
The lack of businesses in our neighborhoods. Now, it's really a ghost town, you know, and with the mortgage crisis that's happening, and parents leaving homes to their children, and then you see the children not able to keep up with the city taxes, and the city takes their homes away, and the homes just boarded up. It's sad. That's the hell right there. So, but
well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but one of the things the Imam said, he said, I think it was in the 80s, he said, did anybody ever hear the Haitians complaining when they come to America, or the Chinese? See, you don't hear
right.
from them, do you?
Yeah.
He said the reason why you don't hear from them is because they take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And what I mean about the mortgage crisis and all these other things, there's a brother who hopefully who's going to come to the event on Saturday. I went to his store, and I'm going to be doing some fashion retail pop-up store next year in one of his areas that he has. And I was asking, what happened to all the stores that are around here? He said, brother, you know what the problem is? He said, what? We don't talk to each other. He said there are three different stores that were all African-American, all in the same vicinity. And they would come and greet each other and say hi to each other, but they never told that they were going through problems because of the pride that they have. So one left, another one left, another one left. Instead of combining what they all have to work and keep each other alive, they rather die on themselves. That's what I meant about the us not working together. It's not a recession
right.
or dealing with these issues. It's relying on each other. If
mm-hmm.
I have a big store and you have a big store, you might close your store, but let my store be half and your behalf, like the Koreans, like the Chinese, like the Italian, like everyone else. It's that work ethic that's killing us. And the Nation of Islam was an image to that for our people. You can't have your own businesses. I told one brother, I said, I've been working for Muslims from I was 10 years old to 15 years old. I was working for Muslims from 10 to 15. So I work for Muslims, and I've seen what we can do. But how come my 15-year-old nephew who lives in Harlem can't work for Muslims the way I used to. Muslim African Americans under this leadership. It's not about the rent's too high, and it's not about that. It's about us working together as a group, having the group thought, the way the Koreans have a group thought, the way the Chinese have a group thought, the Jews have a group thought. But if I have a individual, this is my store. This is mine. That's it. This is mine. I'm not going to have for your brother. You ain't, you know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to lose my store. If you go again, you go down to 16th Street, where the Senegalese brothers and sisters are, each of those stores has some kind of relative in there, and this kind of relationship. And I said they have three masajids there. I said, three of them since 1990. Three masjids, businesses, and everything else. It has nothing to do with the economy or anything. It's that, okay, it's hard on me right now, brother. Can you help me out? Yes, here's so-and-so. Okay, let's shut down this store. You have put another brother in there who might have more and put him in there and then work out with this. This is why I'm glad that we have Brother Ismail Shamsuddin assisting us with things like this. This is where I'm getting all this information from about business. Because my wife and I are going to open up a store in Harlem, a fashion store. So, well, what's the point of opening up a fashion store if you don't have a place of worship, like the Jews? The Jews don't open up stores and not have a place of worship. Because where am I meeting other Muslims to do business with? There are four different Muslim stores, and there are four people in Harlem who come out of our community, who have stores in Harlem. But these people never congregate with each other in a masjid. They could be doing business with each other or whatever. Because there's no masjid to bring all those people together, they're basically on their own. And this is what I mean about the Imam Ahmad Muhammad said, we didn't learn about, that the slave master taught us, didn't teach us business, family life, and the art of war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said it. That was on the DVD that we were talking about. He made in Philadelphia. He was saying how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was successful at getting us to love one another.
Yes,
that's right. He gave us self help, do for self. Also to come together with our resources. That's how he was able to be so successful. We came together under his leadership. We obeyed his leadership. And we came together as a community, as a group. And that's how we got so far in this Islam. Imam Muhammad came in, he gave us, took us to the next level, community life.
Yes.
So we don't have a community life. So how are we going to be, there's no way we can make progress if we don't have community life. Because this is what all the other communities that you just named, Jewish people, the Mexicans, the Koreans, they all have community life. And that's how they're so successful. And one of the reasons why saying we don't have any masjids or masjid in Harlem built under Imam Muhammad's leadership, that's because what Khalia just said a few minutes ago, don't get stuck, you know, in the past. And that's what happened, seeing that the leadership got, New York here got stuck in the past, and they're still living in the time of Malcolm.
Yeah.
Didn't make transition.
Yeah.
Transition from the Nation of Islam under Elijah Muhammad to Imam Muhammad's leadership. Had made that transition, then we would have went forward. So evidently,
so
they're still stuck in the time of Malcolm.
I agree. And but one of the things that I expressed in reference to the man from Chicago was that history that Malcolm created for us and Ahmad Jahan created for us was a good thing. We were supposed to build from that. Because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even know what al-Islam was. But we were supposed to build from that. But instead of building from that, we stayed on what they did and walked around with what they did. We didn't do anything. They did it. They created that. So here it is. They're dead. They're gone. And you're working into what they created. And that's what I mean in the sense of, especially as a young man, anyone who has a son, they understand that when you have a son, your son wants to be independent of you at a certain point. He wants to show, Daddy, I can do this. And that's a natural family evolution. But like I said, Elijah Muhammad said, that we were not taught about family. So a lot of the so-called leaders see young men as a threat to them, as a negative. So they fight them or kick them out because I'm the man in here. I'm the strong person in here. Hold on. I'm the most important thing here, not you. So instead of teaching that young man how to continue what they're teaching, they kick him out, or they force them out by saying, you ain't tough enough to deal with what's going on in the world. Instead of a father teaching a son, this is what's going to happen in the world if you do so and so and so and so. I'm going to give you as much as I can for you to go out in the world and to prepare yourself. So that's what's going on, you know, in my opinion. So, but what we're trying to do in the 8th is create an environment that encourages everyone's independent aspirations, but under a collective environment, like the Koreans and everyone else does.
You know, that's one of the situations that happened here. Well, the last time you was on the program back in March of last year, and someone had called.
I think that was my brother, Ahmed.
It was Ahmed, right? Okay, last year Ahmed was on, and someone called in. And brother was saying about how we didn't support the leadership. He said, "Remember the chickens." I have to bring this up again because we want to know what happened to us financially on a business level, economics. He said, remember the chickens? So I guess a whole lot of people that was on remember the chickens that we were getting from the Amish, correct?
Yes.
He said, if we had made a commitment, all of us that was in the communities under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, if we had made a commitment, we weren't going to eat any other chicken except the chickens that came from the Amish that Imam Muhammad had made the business deal with them. Ate no other chickens. That would have saved the CPC and would have saved the meat plant. And that's a fact. And he said they're going to have to repent. Those that didn't work to help him with that program, they're going to have to repent.
Yes.
And we know that's a fact. Why? Because there's no excuse. You know, we could have said excuse, maybe I didn't want the watches that the man had brought in, you know, one with the Omicron on the face. Or maybe we wouldn't like the suits. We get our suits someplace else. Or we have instances in our business that make suits. Where did we go and get our suits from another country? Or the shea butter. We said, well, I don't like the shea butter. I get them somewhere. You could have made a real excuse for that, although it shouldn't have been either. You should have supported everything that our community was producing. But no excuse for the chicken, because we chicken, fried chicken, baked chicken, boiled chicken, all kinds of chicken. Everybody eats chicken.
Mm.
So that's why they're going to have to repent for not helping that program.
Yes.
See, that goes a step above. Well, I guess that's enough said on that.
No,
we didn't support the chickens,
and
there was no reason. There was no reason for that.
I mean, and for me, in reference to the next generation of our community, because we're talking about two different generations in the sense of those who are 21 and 18 and 17-year-olds, they have no remnants of what the Nation of Islam did and what the power of what y'all did in the Nation of Islam. And the
economy. I was speaking about recently with the chickens. That was recent.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to make a point. That the point is that the whole thing with the chickens is that was from the people who understood what we used to do. Now, Imam Muhammad brought that up to us again to do the same thing, but it didn't happen because most of the leaders under Imam Muhammad's leadership didn't want that to happen. Again. Imam Muhammad said 85% of people weren't with him. If Imam Muhammad says something at the convention, and we all leave the convention and go to our prospective states, the leadership in that state if it's corrupt, which most of the time it is, we will not hear what our teacher said, and it, will, it won't be continued. And because it won't be continued, it will fail. So our leader came. We were here, all of us here, hearing our leader at the convention. We're listening to him. We're getting excited. And we go back to our places, and the same thing's not being taught. Something different being taught. Something of a jailhouse rock kind of Islam is being taught, as opposed to the free, educated, intelligent teachings of the Imam, life-giving teachings of the Imam. So now you're kind of like, this is what the Imam is talking about? So what I'm saying in reference to the chickens is that it's the leadership. One of the things Honorable Muhammad did, when he said something, the ministers did it most of the time, especially what in reference to Malcolm's building these temples and stuff. But when it came to the Imam, a lot of us thought that a lot of the leaders thought they were more intelligent than him. They thought they knew more than him. They thought they had to add more language. Like, there's another brother out here supposed to be adding new language to the Imam right now, unfortunately. And so it's the leadership. And my focus is on the future, but also healing the past. And that's why having Brother Ismail Shamsuddin with us to help us deal with what we used to do and have the younger brothers continue what we have to do in the future. You know, we have to have both. We have to have women, children, elderly, all those people have to be involved in the community in order to build it. And that's what the call-out's about on Saturday, January 8th. Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to corrupt you, but I just want to say that. See, we're speaking about New York, but the chicken, that was a community. That was definitely not just New York. That was all over the community.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, I don't want to sound like it's all the man's fault. I know for a fact that a lot, let's say you have imams and you have your congregation, so to speak, in the world. And the congregation members, they knew something was wrong, but yet they feared to speak up about it. And that's what you have to overcome, too, this fear.
Yeah, I agree.
Of what's right, you know? So
well,
some of the community members
did, they didn't speak up, they didn't speak on it, they didn't give the lip service. They went out and ordered and did the chickens, the meat program themselves. They was ordering, bringing 1,000 pounds in every month. So they wasn't saying anything about, you know, talk lip service. They went did the same thing. They went and brought the chickens and the meats, brought it into the community.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was community members that did that. They came together and they said, okay, we got to do something about this, and they made the
decision. Okay, what's he talking about even now? The only one I know is the way to do it is keep the conversation going. One of the safety man said that it's in one of his books, the Business Climate for Success, on the back of it is a classic statement. It goes like this: If for a community that is weak or deficient, in order to get strong, they must open up lines of communication.
That's right. Communication lines.
Not so much with the outside, but within ourselves.
Yep.
That's what we are with the man.name.com is all about. So let's keep the flow. Let's strive for having a safe community, a prosperous community, a vitalized community, a community of education. And we got to get the word out, and we got a lot of work to do, just like Brother Khaled was talking about. So, my brother Muhammad, we're gonna have to end with your particular portion of the program right now, because you want to bring in one more brother from our community. And but you know, call back in anytime you want. You know, we want to hear you right on the forum, and you also contact Khaled Sabri on Facebook and at the website you gave out.
The HarlemAlislam.com. HarlemAlislam.com. And we're also on Facebook, the Harlem Center of Al-Islam on Facebook.
Oh, yes,
right. Facebook is wonderful. Okay. So we're going to bring in Tori Muhammad. He's the director of Uma Stream. And one of the brain trusts here on Space 9 WDM. Tori, you there?
Yes, let's go.
Regular slime. Go ahead with your what you have to say, brother.
Okay, well, this is Mila. I wanted to first thank the show host for having the conversation. I know last week's conversation was development project and managed Master Ali Khan, their fundraiser and their community development, and several other development projects around the country. What Ali in Houston, we just mentioned Farisha, Fort Valley. So I'm very, very happy to hear this community development project in Harlem. I've been working with the Your Muslim Neighbors of Atlanta and trying to encourage the live, work, and pray together environment where people are doing the same. So I just want to commend the Khaled on their effort. Inshallah, I'm going to come up on the 8th. It's my anniversary, so I might have some negotiating to do here at home. But, my wife. I definitely my background, actually, a lot of people know me for technology, but my background in education is in city development. I'm a planner, have a master's in city planning and development, and working in that arena for the last year. And really, this my main mission is this type of community you're talking about coming to fruition over the country. If you go back in a video line and look at 1974 Savior's Day address, right before Imam Elijah Muhammad came on, you'll see that they were talking about a plan to establish unity in the south side of Chicago, and they had a model and thing that they set up.
Yeah, I remember it was in the paper. Yeah.
Right, and that was the goal.
Yeah.
When Imam Muhammad took ship in 1975, he freed us from that civilization because this community that they were planning was more like a compound, and it may not have stood long with, at the times at that time. So maybe that's why Allah, like you were saying, heaven to hell, because at that time, that probably wasn't the community that we wanted to see. But I'm living with Imam David Muhammad for the last 30 years. He's really put the proper spirit, proper religion, and gave us Al-Imam and the Quran, things we need. And now with our generation, as we saying now, the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad, it is to see this kind of community in fruition, into reality.
Country.
I just want to have my support and all the forces that I have. There's some out now that can realize a vision right on the screen of your computer, and then is raising the funds to make it reality. So I'd like to send some of that information to you as well, Google Earth, along with the 3D modeling program that's free. It allows you to see these visions to assist. A lot of times people don't even have foresight to see the vision. So we see it, and they realize that their money is going to this earth to build. And lastly, I'd just like to say that because I've been studying this community as far as the development for the last 20 years, what I'm seeing is that one of the major ways that we don't live together, if over Jamaican get off the boat to talk, the first thing they're going to do is find the Jamaican community. And we don't have that living facilities, the housing. I just want to encourage you to make sure you look into that and make sure that you have housing, because even I've been in some of these communities in this country, even when we have the masjid, even some of the businesses, they're not supported because the people don't live in the community. They don't have an invested interest in that community. So you only have an invested interest in that community when you live in that community. I just want to encourage you. I'm going to be working with you guys. Sure, we try to get us to live together. Anywhere in this country where we have these matches, try to look at the community, move into that community, and live near that community. If you don't get the community slowed down, then find a community you're comfortable with and start one house as the most solid masjid and continue to live there. So, inshallah, I just thank Brother Khaled and his show, because this really should be out for 2011. We got to establish these communities going to carry us for 30 years. Imam Muhammad carried us for 30 years of trying to build community. So when I come to New York, I'm staying there, we're shopping there, eating there, live, play, and pray together.
Yeah, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Yes, I was here until in and out, and I was wondering if you were experiencing the same thing.
Yes,
I
was.
Did this come through clear?
No, it wasn't.
I didn't hear him that well. I mean, I heard him a little bit. I didn't hear him that well. It was kind of broken up.
Right.
Okay.
I got the gist of his, in terms of his expertise or his training, was to live together.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. I mean, I've known him for like the last 7, 8 years. I've known Brother Torre, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
just... All right. He's a good soldier. You know, and
yes, sir.
And talents are very much part of that. If we can work together, alhamdulillah, Allah bless us so mightily to be established. You know, it would be wonderful.
You know,
we're going to wind down this program for this Wednesday night. We want to thank our brother, Khalid Sabri, for very
thank
much.
You.
And even to invite you to join us at, you know, for Brother and Elevated, as I see it. Other than Facebook is wonderful, but, you know, you just can get so far on Facebook, in my opinion, and hit and quit type of communication, whereas on the this social network, you can really lay out plans. We can have a deeper discussion and come to a conclusion on what each person can do. All I invite you to do is look it for yourself. www.blcman.name.com. You see what I'm talking about. And as you know, Imam said that it's only the few, you know, who be responsible for the mess.
Yeah, it's true.
And at that last first Sunday address in 2008, it was so wonderful. And then saying that, put it off at the same time in terms of the we don't look for the numbers, but we look for the qualified people to support and help out. And he said that you get 3 or 4 people out of 4,000 to be happy. And I said, wow.
Yep.
So we pray. We do our, just like Emmanuel William Blau said, that this coming January 8th will be very, very successful. Kick off and we build that masjid and that multi-purpose center in the hall. It'll be a shining light, you know, for community.
Thank you.
Community development.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you assisting us in this communication, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk later, inshallah.
All right. Good greeting to all the members of the masjid there.
Thank you.
Also,
assalamu alaikum.
Through Facebook, I know there's said happy birthday. Wonderful. Okay, my brother. Take care. Now, Baruf, before you go, Baruf, anything?
One of the things that Imam Muhammad said is that when the sore looks the worst, that's when the healing has started. So while the situation may look bleak, Allah, there comes a time when even the prophet is so stirred in his soul that he asks, where is the help of God? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that the help of Allah is always
Always. Well, my brother, I want to thank everybody who joined us on the program tonight. I thought it was an excellent program. And in a few hours, it will be archived on our website. The archives on umastream.com. And I'm going to go to it to listen to it again. And just gain some knowledge and insight and motivation of building our community the way we're supposed to build, we're obligated to build, you know. So
yes,
looking
sir.
For people to help and all that. So,
even the bee knows how to build a community.
Yeah.
And we should be able to
instinct.
Ask to get it. But his instinct shames us when you compare the size of our brain to his brain. And so, yeah, the people who are not listening to this program, they're losing out. Because this program, it has the sunlight and the rain necessary for the new growth that God has promised us. So we thank Allah for this program, and thank Allah for the believers who have taken their time out to their busy schedules to listen and to contribute. And you should invite your friends to come out, because this program can help communicate the necessary information that can allow us to come together as a community, and we can establish the next phase of this movement towards heaven.
That's what we're striving for, and we ask Allah's help and guidance in everything we do, of course. And we got to live our religion. You know, you just can't say you're Muslim; you got to be a Muslim. You know, and being a part of
the Muslim
is having a community.
It's active. It's not really a depiction. It's a description. It's someone who is in the act of submitting. So it's not. It's a dynamic term. It's not static.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you're not doing it, then you're not it.
Well, we got a little bit of time. Why don't we talk about the program you're having on the 14th?
15th? Yes. Well, the program that we're having, and Brother Khaled will be pleased to know that the purpose of the program is to acquire funds to build a masjid complex which will address all of the needs of the community, not just spiritual needs, but the economic, the social, the political, and the educational needs that are so important. But our program will begin with Salat al-Jumma on the 14th, as you mentioned, with Imam Fahim Shuaid as the Khatib. And then we will have our banquet on January the 15th at the Greenbelt Marriott, which is near Mass Transit. And then on Sunday, we're going to have two workshops that are directed towards men. And we'll have a third workshop that's for men and women. And the purpose of all this is to put our energies for the establishment of community life, which God has ordered us, as Khaled has said, to do. And we're going to do this with the help of God, or we're going to die trying. So we are very encouraged by the response that we have received. And we're encouraged by the people who have said that we're going to fail. They have encouraged us. Because now we have someone to compete against, those who perhaps don't wish us well. And we're asking Allah, the Most High, to bless us and to bless our community to be successful, so that we can be with those brothers in Harlem, those brothers in Dallas, those brothers in Newark, and those brothers in Cleveland, and all over the United States, where the Imam Muhammad's mission is not going in a decline, but it's going in a vertical movement on the Sirat al-Mustaqim.
We'll talk a little more. Is there any contact numbers that people can...
To get additional information, they should go to the Ali Khan Islamic Center website. That's Iconic, AKHANIC.org. And on the website, excellent website built by our brother John Bilal, a lifelong member of our community. They will get all the information that will allow them. The banquet is $100 per, and the workshops are $25 for all three. So we're excited about the having the will to do this, and we ask Allah to bless us successful.
All right. Okay, so we're going to wind up this
Wednesday night on Conversation with Purpose, and I want to tell people to look forward to what's going to happen next week. What I hope to happen is not secured yet, but what I hope to bring in as our featured guest, Mukhtar Muhammad, the vice president of FAMCO Company and the one who's who has that Remake the World calendars. I hope to have him on as a guest, and we're going to talk about strategies, different strategies and our plans to establish ourselves, establish model communities, what it takes, getting people together, working together, and producing together, because you have a collective effort in order to, or a collective effort is needed to do what we want to do, of course. So get everybody on the same page. So that's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And I want to thank our brother Muhammad Shakir for bringing to mind the lectures that are featured on the Ning Social Network, willowwithtman.ning.com. We're just uploaded another dynamic lecture that I hope everybody will be able to listen to, at least I invite everybody to listen to and appreciate. And it's called it's part one of E-Man speaking in Chicago, addressing the sisters, and it's called Life of Leadership. Life of Leadership. And I tell you, I heard it about four or five times already. And I said, I got to share it with the people, you know. And there was one more thing. But I need a number. I need to get to this number. We have a brother, I believe he's an American, W.D. Shakir. And he has put out a series of lectures by E-Man. But how he does it is through the telephone, and it's on for a limited time only. Like, I think every Monday he changes the lecture. Last week he had The Shackles of Slavery, classic lecture of the M.W. Muhammad, put out, I believe, in 1978. And just lights on. But and I don't know what he had this week, but the ones that I've heard, they were dynamite. I wish I could get in my DVD or CD library or MP3 library. But the number to call for is what's called the Muezzin Broadcast System. The number is 641-715-3800 with the access code of 535-25#. Once again, 641-715-3800. The access code is 535-25#. And I'd be remiss in not giving this number to another conference call by Brother Ben Bilal with the Science of Life program. Excellent student of E-Man, who is a really devoted student who studies words and their meanings. And take it from me, but just trust on this. Call 218-339-4699. Now, this is for the recorded message that you call anytime. 218-339-4699. That's the number with the code, the access code of 478191#. So that's what we got for you in areas of the conference calls. A lot of knowledge is given us, a lot of blessed both of these brothers. One in the area of being an instructor, a teacher, of sharing the knowledge that a lot of blessed them with to share with us. And the other one is bringing classic lectures of Imam Muhammad through the conference call system. And that's with the Muezzin broadcast system. So that's it for me. You have anything else to say, Yaruf?
No. I only want to encourage the believers to support all these efforts, and that we are all significant. God Almighty has blessed us to arrive at the day of religion, And in this day, everybody is going to be seen for what they are and not what they claim to be. And we're thankful.
That's right.
We call on the good Christians, the good Jews, even the good agnostics to see the good in what we're doing and support us. Because this way of progress in America is a dream, and we are realizing it. So we thank Allah for blessing us and for blessing us to be in America, a place where the Islamic life can be realized. So that's my final.
That's beautiful, brother. That's beautiful. Again, let me share with people the sponsors of this particular program on station IWDM. It's the sponsors. We start off with our brother Mubashir Uktar, who's going, by the way, be there on the 16th for the workshop in Maryland. Mubashir Uktar has the books out called Applying the Teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And so far, we know there's two books with some beautiful covers. The lessons in the self, those covers are also a work of art in itself. But to get those books in your hand, you can go to this website. That's www.ukdah.com. Ukdah is spelled UQDAH.com. And moving on, we have USA furniture. Excellent way. Everybody needs a couch, bedroom furniture, kitchen appliances. Well, check it out, where you can have some quality items for your home at reasonable prices. And go there, you go to usafurniture.us on the net. Then we have our brother Imam Sadiq Jihad with that wonderful book, The Language of Revelations, where you can purchase the book and use it for the class that he's on our Tuesday program. It's a school textbook, and we hope to have it in our Claire Muhammad schools and in the homes too, you know, for beginning and non-beginning students. Wonderful book that the Imam himself endorsed. You go there, you go to SadiqJihad.com, Sadiq, S-I-D-D-E-E-Q, Jihad, J-I-H-A-D.com, or you can go to IslamInView.com, www.IslamInView.com, and purchase those books. Last but not least, we have our brother Tori Muhammad of Ummah Stream, and Ummah Stream is such a wonderful informational site, motivating site, and a call for us to come together. UmmahStream.com, UmmahStream.com. And we call for people to get out there. You know, we live in the age of the digital age, so get out there, your cameras, and upload those clippers and tilings and community events and share it with us at UmmahStream.com. So that's the call up for tonight. Now, this is not sponsored, this event, and it's a community building event that's happening tomorrow in Atlanta at the Atlanta Masjid. The young imam, I hate to say the young imam, Mansour Sabri, is calling 1,000 Muslims to come together to donate $100 a month. And you go to that, he has a website out at the Atlanta, well, not the, AtlantaMasjid.com/1,000Muslims. And they're looking to seek a fundraiser to establish the community, keep the schools going. And I'd like to hear more about it, but since it's happening tomorrow, Thursday night, we want to make note of that and share with everyone our excitement about it and our support for it. So we got to come together, and so that's what's happening. What I see. So for Raouf and our hardworking other co-host Haleen, we didn't make it because he's busy. I know he's busy and he's doing some wonderful stuff, and we'll hear about that in due time. We We're going to say assalamu alaikum. We'll see you next week on a conversation with a purpose. Take care.
Assalamu alaikum. May God bless you all.